brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business, the talk show dedicated to small businesses and entrepreneurs. Welcome. I'm glad you're joining us today. We air every single week, 11:30 a.m., Business Radio X. So please join us. If it's not on your calendar, please put it on your calendar. You don't want to miss these segments. They are for you, the entrepreneur, the small business of America. So this week, we've got an exciting guest that's with us. She is, and she's widely known in this community. She is the project director, Donna Ennis, of the Georgia Tech MBDA Center. So Donna, I am so excited that you're joining us today. It's good to see you again.
Thank you, Stacy, and so much. Thank you for having us here.
So Donna, let's take a minute. Now, we've known each other for a very long time, And so let's take a minute and talk about you and how you got here at the MBDA Center. Let's talk about the center, and then let's talk about the impact that it has, because you are smoking hot, to be honest. You get a lot done.
Well, thank you so much.
You have a great impact. You do a lot of good work in helping small businesses. So I want to hear all about what you do and how you do it. So first, let's talk about you. How did you get there at MBDA?
Well, I was acting as marketing manager for Georgia Tech's Business Industry Services Program, where we work primarily with manufacturers on business development. And quite frankly, one of our business development people saw the request for proposal to operate a minority business development agency center, and he brought it to me and said, you know, do we need to have this center here at Georgia Tech? And I said, absolutely. I think with the amount of resources and expertise we have at Georgia Tech, this would be a beautiful place for it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Georgia Tech, you're right. I think where you're located strategically is phenomenal.
Absolutely.
What you do and all the resources, you're the perfect spot for an MBDA center. Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been with the center?
Well, the center, we're proud to say we're celebrating our 10th year. We've reached a milestone.
Years
it was,
old.
Yeah, 2004. Oh, wow. Okay. We got the notification to operate the center, and we haven't looked back. We're part of a national network of about 44 centers in the country.
Okay.
Operated by established by the Department of Commerce, U.S. Department of Commerce, Minority Business Development Agency, with the sole mission to grow and strengthen minority-owned businesses. And that's been our mission since 1969, and we've been really excited about being able to serve this community.
Excellent. And so just a little bit about your background, because I think you've got an impressive background.
Well, I started out at Boston University and got my master's in economic development from Georgia State. Came to work at Georgia Tech about 20 plus years ago.
Oh, wow.
Pretty extensive background.
You kind of started from the beginning of the center.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I
am the one who wrote the proposal and launched the center as the director.
So you've got some skills. Okay.
And I got a little bit of skills. So yeah. So, you know, I've got about 25 plus years in marketing and program management. And so, again, when they brought this opportunity to us, I just thought it was just a golden opportunity to be able to serve our minority businesses through Georgia Tech.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So serving minority businesses, that's your mission, and that's what you do. Mm-hmm. So tell me how you do that.
We do it a couple of different ways. I like people to know that we are what we consider to be a 360-degree business development, a technical assistance center. So what does that mean? We operate in typically about four or five buckets. One is in the strategic area, so we do a lot of strategic planning work, coaching with our companies. We also do access to capital or finance, and looking for growth capital and helping companies with growth capital, access to markets and opportunities. So to that end, we do a lot of work centered around identifying an opportunity and responding to an opportunity, infrastructure, helping them with their technology, their talent, building their leadership team, things of that nature. And finally, business process improvement. So helping companies document procedures and processes and using techniques such as Lean and ISO 9000 to help them be better businesses.
And so I'm a business owner, and I've got issues. How, and so it sounds like you can help me from soup to nuts.
Yes, we can. And what we do is, if we don't have the expertise on staff, then our role is to find it for you.
Oh, so, you will go find it.
Yeah, so we're a gateway, which is probably why so many people know us, because we don't purport that we can do everything. We do some things very well, like the strategic work, the finance, the access to capital piece in terms of helping you with proposals and things of that nature. But we elicit the help of a lot of our partners, financial partners. If you need bonding, or say even if you need talent acquisition, we may utilize a consultant or HR consultant to help you build your HR piece in your company. We don't do that. We don't have HR expertise per se.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm a business owner. I've got issues. Mm-hmm. I need help. Mm-hmm. I just knock on your door and step in the door. How do I have to be referred? How do I find you?
You can just go to our website at mbdabusinesscenter-atlanta.org. We're on there. You can send me an email. You can send any of us on that's in the website an email. And what we'll do is we'll schedule an initial consultation. And that consultation will tell us, you know, both of us, you the business owner and us as your hopefully assistance provider, will tell us what you need. Because oftentimes companies come to us thinking they need one thing.
They need one thing. They really need something
else.
Right.
And then when we sit down and really drill down, you know, they may need something totally different to get them to whatever that end goal is.
Mm-hmm. So, as you said, your center has been around for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You're not a baby anymore.
Not anymore. All in fact, we're one of the oldest centers now in the system, and we're proud that we are always a top-performing center. We're measured. We have very MBDA has very specific metrics. We track jobs created, jobs retained. We track the amount of financing and contracts that we help companies secure. We're the number 5 center, performing center in the system.
You're so number 5. You're number in the top. Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Shooting for number 1.
Kudos to you and your leadership for being number five.
I couldn't do it without my team. You know, we're small and lean, but we're strong. And you know how
small and mighty.
Small and mighty. That's right.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
So I really couldn't do it without the team, because we always stay focused on the numbers. And the reason why we do that a lot is not only because we're measured by that, because our companies, we want them to know that we're results driven. So we're not a lot of fluff and that kind of, we're results driven. So, you know, we help them. We'll make our numbers if we help them. So their success is our success.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the impact. You talked about some of the metrics in terms of how MBDA looks at that. But talk about the impact you've had in Georgia on these minority businesses. Talk about
that. Well, we've helped companies either attain financing or contracts to the tune of about $1 billion and counting.
$1 billion? Is that with a B?
That's with a B. And we are help create or retain over 4,000 jobs since we've been here.
And
that's some of the significant pieces of the metrics that we track for our companies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm a company, still that same company, and I've got issues. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the website, and I'm going to go for the big dog, which is you. I see. I'm going to send you an email, and I'm going to say, "Help, tell me about that process."
Yeah, and it varies, but inevitably, let me back up a little bit and say that the agency mandates that we work with existing companies. So typically, our typical profile of a company is a company that's been in business 3 years or more and is generating $1 million or more in revenue. Now, that's still a small business, but what we do with companies that may not have reached that yet or in startup mode is we still coach and counsel and refer them to our business partners.
Okay.
Our expertise is with existing companies. That's where our expertise is. So, you know, helping them learn about starting a company and getting registered and all that. You know, we refer them out to our business partners, but we still coach. I mean, we're coaching all the time, and we like to say we're a gateway, because my goal and our goal at the center is, if you're starting up a company, if you do all the things that we and the partners tell you, I'm going to see you down the road somewhere, because you're going to be $1 million company.
Oh, as you should be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as you're dealing with minority businesses throughout the state, Tell me, what are you seeing? What are some of the things you're seeing in some of the areas that are challenging for minority businesses?
Well, you know, I always tell people that our businesses are businesses first. And so a lot of the challenges that I see in our businesses are not minority business challenges. They're just challenges. Mm-hmm. And so I like to set that record, and you probably can relate to that, Stacey, with me. I like to set that record straight. Mm-hmm. There are still some issues, quite frankly, regarding access and access to capital, access to markets. And what I see, if we want to say something specifically about minority businesses and their access, it's because it's not that the capital isn't there or the opportunities aren't there. It's simply that our companies tend not to be tapped into those networks. And so particularly on the capital side. So oftentimes, if I'm at a capital event, say I'm in a room with a bunch of investors, there may be maybe two or three of us in terms of minority individuals in the room. And so I make no bones about it that it's that piece of access that we continue, I think, to struggle with. As far as being a business, I think we see the same challenges. And I can say this because before we had the business center, I was working with majority companies, small businesses, and the challenges are the same. Talent, you know, leadership. How do I do talent? HR always tends to be a problem.
Okay.
Capital is how do I grow the company? Always tends to be a challenge. And those tend to be the two top things that, you know, we see in companies all the time.
And so those are the two top things that you see in companies. Mm-hmm. And so with your coaching, tell me, how do you do the coaching and training? How's it delivered? Mm-hmm. One-on-one, online? Talk about, I know you got capital and I know you got HR issues.
Yeah.
So how do I help? What do you do to help them?
So the coaching is typically one-on-one.
Okay, one-on-one coaching.
Yeah, again, I go back to, we start with an initial consultation. We do have a process for conducting a strategic meeting, if you will. It could be a retreat. It could be a meeting. Some companies come to us. They may have already completed a strategic retreat. And so we take what they've done and go back through it and make sure that everybody is in agreement, because oftentimes when they come to us, just the top leadership have completed the SWOT and all of those kinds mm-hmm. of tools, and they have not included their other leadership. They don't even think of other
the rest
people
of the
in the company as being part of
part of that process.
They need to be part of that process, right? And then from there, we build out a plan, and then we go to work from there. Some companies come in, they have a what we call a point solution. So you may come in and you may need, you know, $500,000 or whatever, or you want to buy a building. So we help you buy the building. And then we use SBA, Small Business Administration.
SBA?
We've gone through the loans process. You know, we use banks. We have financial institutions that we have relationships with. And we may help you buy the building. And then you buy the building and you may be gone after that. Rarely, because usually once they buy the building, they need
something else. There's more to see than once you have a building.
With the HR piece, I usually use a couple of consultants that will come in and assess the company with me. As to where they are with regard to their HR needs. And then we go from there. So we'll have everything from companies that just need basic HR job descriptions written and a manual completed to actually helping them through interviewing process and identifying leadership and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So you're helping them through the entire process for whatever that thing or after an assessment, that thing you identify that helps them grow.
Mm-hmm. And if we can't do it, for example, business process improvement is an example.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, you know, resources at Georgia Tech. If we're working with a company like a manufacturer that may need some lean processes, we'll contact our manufacturing group. If we think that if they want to do business with the federal government or with the state local government and have never done that before, we'll refer them over to our Georgia Tech Procurement Assistance Center, but we still work together. So because that may be part of the overall plan.
And you bring up a good point. Because you're part of Georgia Tech, you have a plethora of other resources. Can you talk a little bit about some of those other resources that you have at your disposal that really support and augment what you do?
Well, we're part of Georgia Tech's Economic Enterprise Innovation Institute. And in some shape or form, that organization, that unit has been Georgia Tech's outreach and economic development arm since the late 50s. So people don't know that, you know, Georgia Tech does a lot of research. We have the academic side, but we have the service side. We like to tell the story that back in the day, so people can can relate. The Georgia Tech engineers would go out to, when during the agriculture age, they would go out to the farm and bring new irrigation technology to the farmers and to help them improve and to grow. Mm-hmm. So we've got a long, long legacy of having economic development as part of our fabric. To that end, we have a myriad of programs, business programs. We have our Advanced Technology Development Center for high-tech startups. We have our Procurement Center. We have our Manufacturing Program. We have our program. We have a group that focuses on helping organizations develop incubators. So we just, you know, it's just a really right place to be for the center and for our companies. And they have access to all of these and others because everything is not at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we use that opportunity. We've got a great relationship with the state and, you know, with GMSCC as a partner of ours in the Mentor Protege Connections program. So, you know, we just make sure that we're working with as many of the resources as possible because, you know, as I said before, we don't do it all, but we want to make sure our companies get to the proper resources.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. And I will attest that Georgia Tech and MBDA, the MBDA Center, is a phenomenal resource.
Thank you.
Lots of ability to help companies grow. The number one thing we hear from companies is that procurement opportunities. Mm-hmm. I want to do business on the public and private sector. Now tell me, you provide assistance on both or just the federal?
On both. We do both. You know, as I mentioned before, we're a national network of 44 centers. Some of our centers are operated by councils, as you well know. So we work what we call opportunities or deals all the time, whether they're trying to access a corporate opportunity or corporation, or whether they're trying to access on the public side, whether it's state, you know, federal, local level. We work both sides. So
that's excellent.
And that takes a couple of different forms. It could be something as simple as, you know, introducing, as you probably do a lot, of them to someone, all the way through to helping them with a procurement opportunity. I have a conference call at 2:30 with a team of companies that's going after the federal opportunity. So we're going to talk about that opportunity and how we're going to team and put them together to go after it. So it's a wide range.
One of the things that we're also hearing more about is about collaboration. That mm-hmm. is the word for the decade, I believe, is collaboration. Mm-hmm. And so how do you help companies in collaboration, whether they're collaborating with other minority business owners or they're collaborating with other businesses? Mm-hmm. How do you help them with that whole collaboration piece?
Well, I think first of all, it's just getting the companies together and ensuring that they are following the rules, if you will, for engagement, that they have a teaming agreement, that they
And I don't want you to talk about those rules for engagement because that's key. Mm-hmm. Companies need to understand the process for that collaboration.
Right. So typically when you're collaborating, you want to first understand the opportunity and what does that opportunity require. So if you're putting a team together, typically folks will come together because they complement the team. So I may have a certain capacity for a technical capacity and your company may have another capacity, or I may have the technical capacity and your company may have the financial capacity. So there are different reasons why people put together teams. Once you've decided, you've dated a little bit, if you will, and you've looked at the opportunity and you've decided you're going to go after it together, one of the first things to do is put a teaming agreement together. And that teaming agreement will spell out the rules for everything from non-disclosures to indemnification to what you're going to be responsible for, what I'm going to be responsible for with regard to putting the proposal together and submitting the proposal and what piece of the work you're going to have. Say you win the opportunity, you take that teaming agreement and you turn it into an actual contractor agreement. So if my company is leading the team, your company becomes a subcontractor, you take the teaming agreement and you turn it into a subcontractor agreement that would spell out a little bit more than just the responsibilities, but also how you get paid, you know, how you work together, those kinds of things.
And see, that's an area that there's just fear in business owners in this whole collaboration. Mm-hmm. And so the fear is preventing them from growing their businesses because they don't understand the process. They don't know the process of identifying a company. Is there something unique about how do I identify somebody to be a teaming partner or a collaboration? Is there a process for that or is there something?
Well, I would say first you have to know what you need.
Okay.
You know, because that's
know the, yourself.
Yeah, and that's the biggest. I would say step is, what is it that you need on the team? Do you need someone who has a very specific technical capability, a company? Do you need a company that has certain designations? Like if you're going after federal government, do you need an 8A company or a veteran-owned company or those companies that have small business designations? Do you need a company that has financial strength? Mm-hmm. Do you need bonding, a company that has bonding?
But so understand that.
Understand what is it that you need first. And then you do a couple of things. You, through the networks, you know, you come to centers like mine, you come to GMSTC, you know, you go to those organizations, I think, that know the companies and have vetted them. That's the main thing.
That vetting is mm-hmm. key.
It's very important. Vetting okay. is very, and if you identify a company, even if it comes through a referral, you still need a vetting process. You still need to look at their past performance. Call their clients. You know, talk to their suppliers. I mean, you really still need to know that that company pays its bills, performs on time, and do all those kind of, before you add them to your team.
Absolutely, you got to do your due diligence.
Mm-hmm. Got to do your due diligence.
Excellent, mm-hmm. excellent feedback, Donna. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Georgia has been ranked one of the number one states for doing business by in many capacity mm-hmm. site selection. Mm-hmm. Several others have ranked Georgia as one of the number one states as a business friendly, number one state for women, number one state for African American mm-hmm. businesses. Georgia's number one in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Give me your view on that in Georgia. What makes Georgia so special?
I think location has okay. made Georgia That's very special. You know, Atlanta in particular, Georgia in general, Atlanta in particular is the gateway, has always been the gateway to the
gateway
South. And to the world. And we have, you know, the fastest growing airport. I think you have a lot of, you have the Savannah Port. So you have a lot of entryways in and out of the country.
Okay.
And I think that has been the driver in a lot of ways for Georgia, you know, just growing, because folks came here and it just, you know, exploded out. Then you've had some things happen, I think, over the years, such as even in other states, you know, you've had big plants like BMW come in close enough to and then you've had things happen here, like Porsche's bringing in their testing R&D headquarters here, so they'll be
NCR,
testing.
NCR,
so you've had, I think you've got like 14 or 15 headquarters for Fortune 500 companies
yes.
now. So those kinds of things are drivers. There's also been, thanks to, you know, and I can say thanks to the community in Georgia, Georgia Tech, Emory, the universities.
The education is phenomenal.
You have a real focus on technology here. Mm-hmm. And this is something we need to really get into a little bit too. You have, I don't know if people know, Atlanta is the healthcare IT capital of the
yes.
country. And so you have something like maybe close to 400 IT companies dedicated to healthcare here in Atlanta. So that's driven a lot of interest in Atlanta as well, and a lot of activity as well around the healthcare piece.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
To that end, we've launched a healthcare program a couple of years ago where we've been bringing MBEs, minority-owned companies, into the healthcare community for the past 2 years. We have a teaming program called a Health Technology Action Collaborative, where we have four companies that have formally teamed together to go after opportunities in the healthcare
Excellent,
industry.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So that leads us right into industries.
Mm-hmm.
What industries would you say are the hot industry areas for focus?
Mm-hmm.
I've been having some conversations about the non-traditional areas and looking at things like the energy and the health IT.
Mm-hmm.
But give me your take on, if I'm looking at a business today, what industries should I be looking at?
We have four. Healthcare. It's just what it is. I mean, healthcare is changing phenomenally all over the world. So
affordable healthcare is
affordable
is
healthcare
that.
Has driven a lot of that, mm-hmm. and then just the need, the technology has driven a lot of it as well. So if you're in any business, not just IT, but construction, manufacturing, professional services, healthcare, energy, in environmental because it is what it is. It's just what it is. Things are changing. Again, a lot of this is being driven by the technology that's changing the way we do business and by the need. I mean, we just cannot continue to utilize energy in the same way that we've had in the past. And so you're seeing those changes. Transportation. You're seeing a lot of high-speed rail come on board all over the world. Again, you know, they're building these high-speed, you know, trains that are phenomenal. They're redoing airports, you know, those kinds of things. Or rail is big, even the nature of automotive and cars. But even in transportation, I would say if you look in transportation, rail and airports and things like that are really big industries right now. And then finally, I would say education. People don't think of education as an industry, but they're building schools. Houston, I just got back from Houston in May, and Houston has a $1 billion school referendum to redo all of their schools. And they're having difficulty finding minority-owned businesses. Now, people say, oh, we hear that all the time. But interesting enough, as a city, they have a requirement, the 30% requirement, mm-hmm. to utilize minority-owned, women-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. They simply just don't have enough.
And I think that's the same issue Atlanta's going to have with, they got multiple stadiums going up.
They just don't have enough resources. So they're like, where, you know, we really need to bring in the talent.
Did you let Houston know that Atlanta's got their back?
Oh, yeah.
That we can handle that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have to talk because we've been working with the Houston Center. We have a business center there. So we're looking at how do we bring in, because it's still local. You know, they still want to hire local.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they still, so it's a lot of that, you know, how do we bring companies in and team with local companies?
Exactly. And that's how you, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I've got a company. And so you talked about all these hot areas. How do I make a transition or look for opportunity to make a transition? I'm doing staffing today. Mm-hmm. I need to make this transition into one of these hot industries, mm-hmm. because staffing's changing.
The model is changing.
So I need to look at making a transition, mm-hmm. not just staffing, but anyway. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to capitalize on the energy, capitalize on manufacturing, mm-hmm. which is tougher, mm-hmm. Capitalize on one of these other areas that I need to play in. How do I make that transition? And how does the MBDA Center help me with that?
And I think that's where your strategy session starts. You know, you can't just do it all. And so you have to have that strategic meeting. You have to drill down with your staff. You have to make a decision and dedicate the resources. And I think dedicating the resources is probably the toughest, because companies don't quite understand what it takes to move into a new industry. So if you say don't have, for example, let's take the healthcare industry. We started with a grant almost 2 years ago, Georgia Tech did, a job accelerator grant, and we were able to write a SBA piece to it that helped to bring in the small business portion, right? That was almost 2 years ago. And so you're talking about companies that have no knowledge of the healthcare industry. You have to get trained. You have to you have to develop a network. You have to understand the opportunities. You have to know the lingo. You have to do all those things in addition to continuing running your business. So you have to really make a business decision and budget it and say, you know, with milestones, this is what we're going to be able to achieve. And then I think you have to manage your expectations. And that's probably one of the toughest challenges with small businesses. It has nothing to do with minority. Again, it's small businesses, got to eat, have to feed people, have to make payroll while I'm trying to do something new.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, but MBDA Center helps with all of that. Mm-hmm. You help mm-hmm. them with those, making those transitions. Mm-hmm. You help them in assessing and deciding what transitions to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're there through the whole process.
Yeah, yeah. And we have clients, I must say, that have been with us for almost the entire 10 years. And
excellent.
So, because, again, they come for one reason and they stay, and then they're calling and they, do you know, and I have a resource, and then we bounce something off of you. So we have a number of companies that we pretty much act as a coach. Just helping them to that next step, whatever that next step may be.
I think that would be awesome to have mm-hmm. my own MBDA coach. My own personal MBDA coach.
Your own personal MBDA coach.
Yeah. I can pick up the phone and call. I got a business problem.
Well, they do that.
Who you gonna call?
MBDA.
Well, let me ask this question. You've got a lot of services. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about cost. How mm-hmm. does cost play there?
We have package services. So, for example, we help our companies do certifications.
And you need to help more, by the way. Keep it coming.
Send them our way. Yeah, so that's one package service that we have where we will help you either with your MBE or your WBE certification, as well as with your 8A or your Disadvantaged Business Enterprise certification. And we have a really strong partnership with GMSCC. We've been doing that for years. We have, again, with package services, the way we operate our strategic retreats and that kind of thing. And then we price projects as we go along. We price projects. So, for example, if someone comes to us and say, I need a business plan, I will just say, by the way, we don't just write a business plan. We usually, that business plan has to be directed to something. So if they're trying to get capital and raise funding, we'll price the project accordingly.
So, Donna,
so we're not free.
You're not free.
But we are resourceful.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. We do ask companies, they can become a quote-unquote client, if you want to call it a non-client, paying client, by us sending them a form and getting into our database so that they do become part of our community and are able to take advantage of our resources and things that, you know, you historically wouldn't be able to.
Donna, I'll first of all want to thank you so much
for
being a part.
Are we through already?
We're going to have to have you back. We're going to have to have you back.
We just got started,
yeah,
Stacey.
I know there's so much more. So what parting words would you give as we're wrapping up today?
I would say that for our companies, they should do 5 things. And that's it. And I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to say have a plan, stay focused, follow up, which is probably one of the biggest challenges for small businesses. Build your relationships, and finally, hire professionals to do what you need to get done.
Donna, thank you.
Was that short enough?
That was short. She did perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. Donna, thank you so much. We're going to have you back.
Okay,
I'm going to first of all thank our sponsors, for without you, this would not be possible. Join us next week as we continue the next segment on Let's Talk Small Business. So as America goes, so goes small business. Enjoy your day.